took an egg out of his pocket on Easter and showed it to the children, and he said, "What is this?" He said, "It's an egg." And he said, "Well, what's in it?" And one little kid said, "Pantyhose." Easter is more than eggs. It's more than a bunny rabbit. It's a celebration that we as Christians from all over the world get to celebrate. It, you know, if you think about it, this morning there's already been people from all over the world who've gotten up and have celebrated Easter. We're kind of at the end of the time zone, so we kind of get to finish it up. But I probably, everyone in all of the earth has heard about the resurrection. Maybe not, but a vast majority anyway probably has heard about the resurrection. So what does it matter? Even if you've heard about it, and even if you know about it, what difference does the resurrection make in my life? We're going to be talking about seven different things today that it takes place because of the resurrection. And I want to apologize to you because I didn't get everything up on PowerPoint this morning. So that means you're going to have to listen closely. One of the things the resurrection did, actually Jesus' life did, it split history. So I want you to tell me real loud, tell me when you were born on three. 1, 2, 3. October 3rd, 1957. That kind of confused me with everybody going on. But did you know that your birthday has to do with the life of Jesus? The age you are has to do with the timeline from Jesus' life to this point. Every time you write a check, every time you sign a document and put a date on it, whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, whether you have a religion or no religion whatsoever, every time you date something, you're dating it according to the life of Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not. You may change a lot of laws, but that probably won't get changed. The resurrection has a lot to do, the life of Jesus has a lot to do with about even the way we date our calendars now. A second reason that the resurrection is so important is because the resurrection validates Jesus' identity. Jesus said, "I am the Son of God." Did you know that there are many people in history who've said that they were the Messiah or the Son of God? I went online and I lost count. I was kind of like, I want to read you a couple of those. Who said that they were the Messiah. Ann Lee, a central figure in the Shakers, who thought she embodied all the perfections of God in female form and considered herself to be Christ's female counterpart in 1772. This is a Chinese guy. I'm not going to pronounce his name correctly. Hong Zhuquan, you wouldn't know the difference anyway, would you? Hakka Chinese claimed himself to be the younger brother of Jesus Christ, started the Taiping Rebellion, and founded the Heavenly Kingdom of Christ Peace. He committed suicide before the fall of Tianjin. Sun Myung Moon, you've heard of him probably, who was considered himself the second coming of Christ, but not Jesus himself, although it is generally believed by the Unification Church members, the Moonies that he was the Messiah and the second coming of Christ and was anointed to fulfill Jesus' unfinished mission. There are many, many claimants to the Messiah, but there's only one who actually died and rose again. You can go to all of these others who claim to be the Messiah, and if their bones weren't cremated or someone took them, their bones are still where they buried them. The resurrection validates Jesus' identity. In Acts chapter 13, verses 32 through 37, it says this, "And now we are here to bring you the good news. The promise was made to our ancestors, and God has now fulfilled it for us, their descendants, by raising Jesus. This is what the second Psalm said about Jesus. You are my son. Today I have become your father, for God has promised to raise him from the dead, not leaving him to rot in the grave. He said, I will give you the sacred blessings I promised to David. Another Psalm explains it more fully. You will not allow your Holy One to rot in the grave." Now, this is not a reference to David, for after David had done the will of God in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. No, it was a reference to someone else, someone whom God raised and whose body did not decay. Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and he proved it, one, by his miracles. You remember, I don't know if you remember or not, but John the Baptist was in prison. And he began doubting his relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you ever been in a crisis and began to doubt? That's where John was. You would think of all the people on earth, John would have that assurance. But I think all of us go through those times of doubt at times. And so John the Baptist was really seeking it. He sent his disciples, and he said to his disciples, go ask Jesus if he is truly the Messiah. And so his disciples went and asked Jesus, are you the Messiah? And you'll find this in Luke chapter 7. He said, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? And Jesus, at that time, he didn't even say anything. He cured many people of their diseases and illnesses. He cast out evil spirits and restored sight to many who were blind. And he told John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Jesus was basically saying, listen, you see all the miracles I've done? That's a proof that I am the Messiah. That's a proof that I am the Son of God. But even a greater proof than him doing all of the miracles is him rising from the dead. You remember in Scripture where there are many people who saw Jesus after his resurrection. There was Mary, there were disciples, and then at one time there were over 500 people who bore witness to Jesus' resurrection. And many people have sought to prove the Gospels are not true. They've made it their life mission to prove that Jesus did not rise from the dead, and everyone who sought to do that has come to know Christ as the personal Lord and Savior because of all of the evidence that is overwhelming regarding Jesus' life and resurrection. The third thing that we find that Jesus' resurrection does, that it ensures us that there is life after death. There's life after death. There were many people during Jesus' day, and even in our own day, who believe that once you die, that's the end of your existence. You're just like kind of a worm, and you're going to go into the ground, and that's the end of you. That, I hope that's not where you are. Because God created you for a relationship with him. And Jesus said, in 1 Corinthians 6:14, actually Paul wrote this regarding Jesus' resurrection, and God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. There is power over death. There is power over the grave. There's a lot of people who are afraid of death and they're afraid of the grave. But if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear. I believe that before you take your last breath, that your spirit is already in heaven with Jesus. As a pastor, I've been with a lot of people who have struggled near death. I was with my mom about a year ago and watched her laboring for her last breath. Watched her as she took a breath, and it would be a long time before she would take another one. And finally, there was no more breath. I believe that her spirit was already with the Lord while her body was still struggling. I don't believe we will taste death. I think Jesus tasted that for us. If you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus has tasted death. And whatever, let's just say you do, it's going to be so momentary, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. Because Jesus, if you know him, he has already given you life. He's not going to give you life just after you die. He's already given you the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ in your life. There are two huge scriptures. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says, "For this purpose Jesus partook of flesh and blood like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to bondage all their lives." 2 Timothy 1:10, "He who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So he literally nullified death, putting death out of business for Christians, for you and I. Ooh! The grave ain't going to hold me down. The grave's not going to conquer me. So if you're a Christian, you have no need to fear death. That's right. That's right. That's what Scripture says. That's what we were singing a while ago. A trumpet sounds. We're all going to be raised. The fourth thing we find regarding his resurrection is his death, burial, and resurrection demonstrates that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the gate. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that everything he said, every promise he made, every claim he gave is good, stamped with heaven's verification because of his resurrection. Now, logic tells us, even if we don't believe Scripture, logic tells us that Jesus is the only way to heaven. What kind of God would offer his son as a sacrifice, an atonement for sin, if there was another way to get there? That would be a cruel God. There are many who say Jesus is one way to heaven. But if you think about it, if there were other ways, then why would God have sent Jesus? That would be a cruel God. Jesus is the only way. Did you know that we can't even get there by our own good works? And you know, there are some people who say that it's by Jesus and your good works. I hate to bust your bubble, but it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Jesus Christ and His shed blood. It's a gift that only you can receive by receiving it. You can't work for it. How many of you have ever had to work for a gift? A couple of you? Guess what? It wasn't a gift. If you've had to work for a gift, it wasn't a gift. And Jesus says that I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And I came to give you... What's probably the most memorized scripture in the Word of God? All right, help me with that. What does it say? I've forgotten. Okay, stop right there. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever, what? Believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. So how do we receive it? According to that passage of Scripture, how do we receive it? We believe in Him by faith. Faith alone. Jesus alone. Nothing else. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Many of you have had to work for everything you've gotten. And for some of you, it's hard to receive a gift. But God says you cannot have eternal life unless you receive this gift. You can't have it by working for it. You have it by receiving it. The resurrection and what Jesus did regarding the resurrection shows that who He said He was, He is. It also ensures that we have life after death. Another thing that His resurrection does, His resurrection demands that each individual make a decision regarding Him. His resurrection demands that each individual makes a decision regarding Him and who He is. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 32, says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times. He overlooked their ignorance about these things in earlier times. But now, He commands everyone, everywhere, to repent of their sins and turn to Him. He commands that everyone, everywhere, repent of their sins and turn to Him. For He has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man He has appointed, and He proved to everyone who this is by raising Him from the dead. So who's going to judge the world? When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, we want to hear more about this later. There are people who are still laughing regarding the resurrection. There are some people who choose not to believe when there's so much evidence to support Jesus' resurrection. But then there are those who receive. God said, Jesus' resurrection demands that you and I make a decision of what we're going to do with Jesus. And the decision you make will decide whether you spend eternity in heaven or in a place separated from God called hell. Whose decision is that? Is that God's decision? It's our decision. We decide that. And what we decide determines our life. Another thing that the resurrection has done for us, for those who've received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the resurrection power of Jesus lives in you. Okay, I want to read this passage of Scripture to you, found in Ephesians verses 1, 19 and 20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul is saying, again, I pray that you will understand. This is very important that you understand this. That the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. How much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead? He had been dead 4 days. 3 days. That was Lazarus before day. I forgot. How many days did it... So Jesus was dead for 3 days. How much power did it take to raise Jesus from the dead after 3 days? I watch people on these doctor shows and they put these paddles on them and try to bring them back to life. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And they say, crank it up, crank the power up. Crank it up. I think it takes a lot of power. After 3 days, I've never seen anybody after 3 days trying to jump start someone. Never saw that. After about, maybe, 20 minutes, they say, all right, it's done. Turn it off. It's time to come. Whatever power that was, let's just say it's a lot of power. Scripture says the same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead after 3 days is the same power that lives in you as a child of God. Isn't that incredible? That's amazing. That's amazing. So is the resurrection important? Is it important that you understand why the resurrection? God wants to do something very special today. I don't get a lot of dreams from the Lord. Usually when I do, it's a correction. Brad? But I've been working on this message all week, and this morning I woke up about 3:20. Because when I wake up, and the Lord wakes me up, I look at the clock. And I have been dreaming about some of you here. And my dream had to do with some of you were in shackles and in bondage. And the Lord wants to break that off of you. And I believe that the Lord's power, the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ, is here today to break that off of you. I don't know what, some of you, I know what you're shackled to. because you've told me. You said, Pastor Brad, pray for me. Somebody gave me some change the other day and said, Pastor Brad, take this, because if you don't take it, I'm going to go buy a pack of smokes. He was determined in his heart that he wanted to break this. But did you know, how many of you realized in your life that there are some things that you can't break on your own, that the willpower is not strong enough to break the shackles? That it's going to take a power that's stronger than you are? The resurrecting power is here today. And the power to break those shackles off of you is here today. So here's what I want you to do. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And the first thing we're going to do, there's going to be two parts to this invitation. If you're here this morning, and you don't know for sure that you will go to heaven when you die, but you would like to know, and you would like to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you just to pick your head up and look at me so I can make eye contact with you, okay? Anyone here? Okay? Someone else? Okay? Anyone else? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray after me. And let me just tell you, the words that you pray is not what gives you that assurance. Jesus Christ gives you that assurance. And if you're willing to open your heart to Him, then I want you to. Scripture says that God commands us to repent of our sins and receive Christ as our Savior. And so if you're in a position right now that you want God to take these sins away from you, I want you to just cry out to Him in your heart right now. Ask Him to forgive you. And perhaps there are sins that are going on in your head right now, and He's bringing those to your mind. Just ask Him to forgive you. Jesus died to take away your sins. Then ask Jesus to come into your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I've sinned against You and in Your sight. Please forgive me. I've prayed this prayer how many other times You've prayed it, but it's never become real in Your life. Lord, make it real to them today. Lord, enter their heart. Enter their life. Give them that security that only You can give. You said that Your Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. Lord, I pray that You would affirm that in their heart right now as they yield themselves to You. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed still.